And in John, looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, which makes real and right all of God's wonderful saving grace, none of which would be here. He makes it all work, and without him, it doesn't work. Therefore, we share together the fruit, the branch and the vine, tree and the branch, and the branch attached to the tree brings all the life of the tree into the branch. The life of the tree isn't in the branch, The branch is just the branch. It's the life that is in the branch. That's God's life. And that life, L-I-F-E, translates into the expression, like on the trees, leaves and fruit. The leaves and the fruit tell the relationship of what's in the branch is in the tree. A wonderful, wonderful tree. The life of God expressed in the branch. The life of God in the believer expressed. So it isn't the branch's life. It isn't the believer's life. It's God's life. And so we Galatians 5 and 22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc. And we've been looking at them. Because the fruit singular, life, the life of God is made up of love, joy, peace, etc., 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 endless. It's God's life. It's God. Now, therefore, God gives love and God gives joy. God is love, God is joy. And the branch cannot abide. When the branch is abiding, when the believer is abiding in the Lord, like John 15, when they're abiding in the Lord, they enjoy God. However God wants to express himself, however God wants to be, they enjoy all of God, period. And that includes his love and his joy and his peace. That's all part of the ball game. That's everything. So you don't get any more. God is going to be God in his most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and looking at the peace, which we did, which you probably forgot. Anyway, really. Now, and so here we, when going back to John 14, our Lord in the upper room helps the believers understand that they're in a terrible, difficult time because as far as they're concerned, their whole 3.5 years of commitment to the Lord are finished. They're finished. He's going to die, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, etc., are going to go after them. They know that. It's just downtime. But our Lord helps them to understand that he has to go away, which they didn't understand. And having to go away, as they did, picking up if I can, in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And there was a good reason to be troubled and good reason to be afraid from a human standpoint. Now, God's going to give them his peace. Not as the world. The world gives peace. Peace, peace. We read that in Jeremiah 7, etc. They were telling the people of Israel that Nebuchadnezzar won't really come in. It won't really happen. And therefore, they kept saying, peace, peace. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to come out good. No trouble. No trouble at all. That's false peace. Our Lord gives them his peace, not as the world. The world doesn't have any peace to give. So therefore, when we talk about the peace of God, we talk about the Old Testament word shalom and eirene, the New Testament word, and peace. And to make whole, to make entire, to make complete, to make perfect, lacking nothing, finished, wanting nothing. Everything is in good, perfect shape. It needs nothing. It's at peace. It has and is everything all at once. Peace, togetherness, everything is there to make it complete. Nothing is missing. Now, having said that, to prosper in a state of wholeness, a state of health, and therefore, wholeness, perfectness, as it were, perfect, complete. Now, having looked, said that, that's the word. That's the word, shalom. Peace be unto you, shalom, etc. Peace be unto you. Now, so therefore, God is going to give him that peace. Now, let's see how that works out. We got a little idea of it. Old Testament, New Testament, same word flows over. And now, over if I can in your Bible, to just review just very briefly, Romans in chapter 5. And remember, when you come to know when the believers came to know the Lord as their Savior, they received the Lord Jesus Christ. And how, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, what must have come with him? What must have come with him? Peace. How could you receive the doctor without the skill of the doctor? When you receive the Lord as your Savior, as John 1:12, when you received him as your Savior, when Christ, God in Christ, in you, brought all of God's wonderful person into your heart, all at once, all at once. So do I have peace? If I'm saved, I have to have peace. I have to have love. I have to have joy. I have to. How can I have, if I don't have Christ as my Savior, I don't have any of it. But when I received him, he brings to me and us the fullness of God. Hang on to that, and let's see how we do. So, in John, the Gospel of John chapter 5, we are reminded, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, whereby we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God. We aren't at war anymore. We were at war, John chapter 5. We were at war. But, and in the process of being at war, we're no more enemies with God. So now, having peace with God, then there's no hostility between us. So we're free. And that, so I'm able to receive God because I'm not at war with them anymore in my sin nature. I sin nature, I am, but God died. God died on the cross to take care of that. So now, having peace with God, I can stand in front of him. He can stand, I'm in front of him, he's in front of me, and we can be at peace. Now, over again, over to Philippians. and remind all the different ways to do it. This is just a way to remind us. And in Philippians in chapter 4, and you recall, if I can, verse 6, the context, be careful, don't worry about anything, but in everything, everything, yeah, barring none, barring nothing. Be careful for nothing, stop worrying about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we're looking to God. We have peace with God. We're able to enjoy in God's presence. And when we enjoy and exercise God's that wonderful presence of God, we have verse 7, and when we're exercising peace, the God of peace, how can we exercise the God of peace without having the peace of God? How do you do that? You exercise God's wonderful person, and you have everything, branch to the tree. You have everything all at once. All at once, you have everything all at once because of God. And if the Lord tarries and we live that long and can do it, I'm going to try to pick it up, at least the beginning, in the morning here, to understand how come God seems to be so absent in this world. How come God is so seemingly, why don't we, something? Ah, but we don't have something. And why not? Why not? Why is that true for us? Now, hang on. Now, you don't care about this. Anyway, wrong thing. Anyway, you don't care about that. So, chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God that belongs to God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so God, you're going to be my God and Savior, and you're going to give me your peace. I have peace with you. And you being present in my heart, what am I doing? I enjoy your presence. What do I know about your presence? You are love, joy, peace. You are peace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. That means as we're trusting God, God in the heart is going to be God in 1,000%, he's just going to be everything, totally, without any interference. He is at peace. He is totally God. What is required for God to be God? He is everything that is to be required to be God. There's nothing missing from him. He's God. That's what he is. Now, so therefore, and that God's presence will pass understanding. Now, can we hold the peace? Can we count the peace and put it in our pocket? No, you can't. You can't do it. God's wonderful presence is peace. Is peace. So God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall mount guard on our heart and mind. Now, sliding down, and we share together, as you read through the wonderful section, verse 8 and 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen of me, do, and the God of peace, going to say it all over the place, the God of peace shall be with you. The peace of God is with you, the God of peace. You have the peace of God, and the God of peace is with you. So there we are. So now God, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I can, And as you would think about these things, so therefore let not your heart be troubled. Now, what does the peace of God, how is it going to work out itself? A, over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, and you'll note, chapter 2, and you'll can't watch it. What does the peace of God do? God died to make peace with all humans, Jew and Gentile. The Jews have crucified Christ, and God is now reaching out to whosoever's, Jews and Gentiles. What is peace with God? Christ died to make peace with all humans, Jew and Gentile. Therefore, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For how can that be true? Because he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of him in himself of twain one new man in making peace. He took Jew and Gentile, and he died for all humans and saved them all and saves them. And where the Jews have rejected him, God is demonstrating his wonderful grace in his wonderful way to tell the world that what? I'm going to show the world that they need to be saved. I'm going to show them my resurrection by believers enjoying the newness of his life. Therefore, making peace, verse 16, that purpose he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, the hostility, the opposite of peace, thereby, and came and preached peace to you which are far off and to them which are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So God, in his wonderful grace, makes it so that we are able to enjoy God's wonderful person in a wonderful way. Then it makes free, brought us together, Jew and Gentile, in the body, his body, the Christ. So therefore, we share together the root, shalom, etc., wholeness, lacking nothing, perfect, complete, in everything, in every way, nothing lacking. Therefore, take a look at that just in a way. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament, the word shalom, back over there, and then come forward again. So back and forth, looking, God, what was Israel supposed to have God's saving grace? It was supposed to be the nation among all nations, like no other nation. But they gave up that wonderful position because of their unbelief. Therefore, God is going to go and remind them what they missed and how they missed it. So over to Isaiah, if I may, and in chapter 26. Isaiah 26. And you'll recall it. This is looking at the kingdom to come. And verse 1, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. So therefore, what kind of protection are we going to have? We're going to have a big high wall with guards? No. The only thing that's going to protect you, as God said, is my saving grace. That's all that's going to protect you. Just like in Job, like Satan said way back in Job's day. Job. Satan said, I would love to get at Job, to louse him up, but you know I can't get at him. because you put a hedge around him. You block it. I can't get in to get him. And unless you back away and give me a way in, I can't touch him. I can't touch him. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you a way in, as you remember with the book of Job. So, what is God going to do in the kingdom? Walls and bulwarks for salvation. Open ye the gates. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Wilt thou keep him in perfect peace? That's the word shalom twice. Shalom, shalom. Wilt thou keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, resting down on thee? So if the right, you're in the right position, resting down on the right person in the right way, and it's going to do what? It's going to give you peace. If you sit in the pew properly, sit there, the pew is going to be the pew. It's made to hold you. That's what it's made for. You don't make it a pew. You don't make it a seat. You don't do that. It is that. It is that. You either understand that and believe it, and by believing it, you sit in it. And when you sit in it, you know it. So therefore, as I rest, the man, the woman, the boy or girl in the kingdom that will rest on his person, God will keep him in perfect peace. They will enjoy God's wonderful saving grace in that day in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, and because we're trusting, we're believing. And as long as we're believing, we enjoy it. We don't be unbelieving. We want to be believing. Resting down. Now, and just a sidetrack for a second, I think. Sidetrack, when you go, if you're going to lay down in your bed again and go to sleep or something, when you lay down and you expect the bed to hold you, I think. You expect the bed to hold you, whatever kind of bed you're laying on, a board or whatever, and you expect that to hold you, and you're right. Now, and therefore you let the bed be the bed and relax your body down in the bed. Now, you could do that. You can also wonder if you're running, if the bed will hold you, and you could worry about the bed. You could worry about a lot of things that things come into your mind as you're sleeping and trying to do that, and they come into your mind all over the place. They're all over. The bed doesn't change. Resting down doesn't change. It's your mind. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is resting. Otherwise, you can be in the bed. Bed's wonderful, but you don't enjoy the bed because you're worried about so many things. You're worried and wondering, and you're wondering, you're moving the bed now. Bed, you know, the question in the bed, is the bed able to do whatever, and all of these different things. But the bed never stops being the bed. The bed's just the bed. And you rest in it. The problem isn't the bed. The problem isn't God. It's our heart that's not resting in God. That's the problem. It isn't God. It isn't your Savior. It isn't the peace of God. It's what we're doing in here, in our old nature. That's what's lousing us up. That's the problem. So don't be looking elsewhere. The problem isn't us. The problem is us, not God. So therefore, thou will keep him in perfect peace, his mind stayed in thee. Verse 4, amplified again, a command. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So we're going to go and trust God for all of his wonderful, wonderful saving grace. Now, if you're a believer, Old Testament or New Testament, truth is the same. God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That's what God will do. And I have to let my mind do it. Otherwise, I'm letting my mind, I'm in competition. You're going to catch that coming up here in a little bit here with Colossians. Let the peace of God act as empire in your heart. And most, we don't do all that ahead of time. We did it. Act as empire. No, God, we got to be resting. In your saving grace. Now, over if you would please. Over to chapter 32. Isaiah 32. And what else do I learn? If I was in the light of that. And you will note Isaiah chapter 32. And again in the kingdom, I'm going to read chapter 32. Will the Spirit be now? No, please. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. In other words, everything is super duper better than it is, what it is. A field, a forest, a fruit, full of fruit. Now, then judge, this is a kingdom. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Now, the work of righteousness, the work of righteousness shall be peace. Now, the work, the effect, what does rightness do? It makes for peace. Everything is right. And when everything is right, when the cake is fully prepared, it's ready for the oven. It's ready to be cooked. It's ready. It's ready. Righteousness makes things ready and right. And that's where peace is. Wholeness. Nothing's missing in any way, shape, or form. So God, here we are, looking to you. Now, and going a little further. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect, the results, and the effect, the results of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. It's going to be peace. It's going to make for much assurance. Wow. Yep. Peace of God. I'm going to hang you up, turn there, you know. Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall mount guard in your heart. It mount guard. It makes everything. Everything is right before God. It can't be. Ah, but it is. Because Christ, I think you did that, but you know, let it sink in. Christ has to be so personal. Christ makes everything right. And when I'm looking to Christ, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is resting down. I'm resting down. And God will go. And when I'm resting down on God, he's my peace, and he makes everything right. Everything right. That's what he does. Wonderfully right. And the effect of righteousness is peace. It's peace. There's nothing missing. Everything's missing. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Because in God, how much can be missing? How much can be missing in God? Nothing can be missing in God. Nothing. So when I'm trusting him and resting down on him with all my heart, Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace. What's God going to do? God is perfect. The peace of God and the God of peace is now going to make what? Going to help me understand that I am able to enjoy John 14:27. My peace I leave with you, not as the world. I leave my peace with you to enjoy my peace, my wholeness. That's what you're doing. Resting down now. And quietness insurance forever. And keeping in mind all in the contrast to that, over to Isaiah 48, as you know. And if Israel would just avail themselves of believing and resting in God, they would have the benefits. Chapter 48, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. I'm there to help you, keep you in perfect peace. Verse 18, Oh that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, and then had my peace. If you've just been paying attention to what I told you to do, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is resting down on me. Keep thy commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Righteousness, peace, all go together. Always keeping in mind for the believing heart, remember, if you don't believe, you don't benefit. Verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord unto the wicked. There just isn't any. You can hear it, you can hear it, peace, peace. Senator and all these different things. You know, peace, war, peace, peace. We just need to be peace. You can't be at peace. You're in a world of war. There is no peace in this world. It's hostility. The world is an enemy of God. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's an enemy of God. Darkness hates light. Darkness hates it. It's not peace. No, sir. No. No, it's a lie. We live at war. But we're supposed to, in the war, we're supposed to go forth with the peace of God as our armor, as our protector, to keep us so that we don't have anything lacking. Nothing's missing. Over to chapter 57. Again, you'll note Isaiah 57. And picking up if I can, I'll read in verse 18. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off, to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. But, having said that, said God, but the wicked are like the troubled sea and dirt, dust, and whose waters cast up mire and dirt. That's what they do. So this wonderful life that we're to have, God's wonderful life, we're to be actually exercising our relationship to God, abiding like the branch in the tree, abiding, we enjoy the perfect life of God, perfect at peace. We aren't doing it. We don't make it. All we did, Isaiah 26:3, is rest down and rely upon it. I'm going to rely. When you go to the doctor and do that, all those different things, and you have to go to the doctor. The doctor, that's why you go to the doctor, do the test and different things. That's what they do. And you rely on the doctor. That's what you do. And you hope the doctor can push the right button and give you the right things and say the right things in the right way. So we're trusting the doctor. But no, we're not trusting the doctor in this case. We're trusting God. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. So God, your wonderful person, your wonderful life, your wonderful life in my life is the same life. God, your life is my life. And my life is your life. We share, because of Christ our Lord, the same life. We same life, the same love, the same peace. Now, having said that, so therefore, there's no friction, there's no confusion, there's just communion, not confusion, but communion, oneness. And what rest is to the body, from a human standpoint, peace. Rest is to the body, peace is to the spirit and soul. Now, therefore, and the way to think about that, poverty cannot destroy it. Sickness cannot mar it. Persecution cannot ruin it. Nothing can touch God's peace. That's why it's perfect peace. Perfect. Everything that happens in your life and around your life in the world is God broken up? Is God disturbed wrongly? No. Everything is at peace with God. All the pieces are together at all times with God, no matter what. That's wonderful. That's wonderful, God. Everything's cuckoo, crazy, but you are the same. Yeah, Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, always the same. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And if you remember, we haven't had one for a while. We've had a couple of snowstorms lately that are rare. But we haven't had a hurricane, but when you have, if you can remember them coming through years ago, and the wonderful thing about a hurricane is, in the very middle of it, the eye of the hurricane, it is tranquil, at peace. Everything around is crazy, but in the middle it's quiet. The sun shining, and you just have lunch outside. We're in the middle. God keeps us in the middle of the hurricane, the middle of the storm that's whirling around, and all the stuff that's happening now in Iran and all of those wonderful things. And they are wonderful because things have to change. And we read the Bible and we see what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. But we say, I don't know how it's going to happen. You know, getting sidetracked, years ago, on the way back a long time ago, and way back. And years ago, we'd read, back in the 50s and that, and we'd read the prophecies, and it was a big time. The Lord's coming. Boy, we were there, yeah. Radio, good preachers, good, lots of good stuff compared to today. Different day. We were there. But you know what? When you looked out the window back then, and you know how things are going to have to happen, the Antichrist and everything, you know how these things have to happen, the nations, Europe and all of that. But we didn't see that. We're looking, but we don't see. We don't see. We know it could come at any time, and that's what he told us, the next thing, and it isn't going to, and we don't have to see any of that happen. God can take us home and then let it all happen. That's right. But at least we're reading, and we're thinking about it, And as we do that, as dear friends, as we do that, and we think about all those things, we just don't see them. But we believed them. Especially in the 40s, they believed. Wow, they believed. But you never saw it. Now, all these years later, European Union's in flux, has to change a bit, work itself around to be Daniel chapter 2, etc., has to change a few things. The Mediterranean block of nations around the Mediterranean Sea, and that, and all of those different things. All of those things have to change to make it, to fulfill. And now, and if we do, but you know, we're in a very special time when God is allowing things to be shaken and changed. It's an awesome thing. And a lot of rebellion in all kinds of different ways. But God's letting it all happen to what? Oh, to outwork, to let the system outwork itself for his soon return. And therefore, Romans 13, our salvation to be taken up is nearer than it was yesterday. Things are happening now that are going to happen all over the place. I don't know how they're going to happen, but they're going to happen. Going to happen. Yep. God, you had to do it. Right. So therefore, we're in the middle of a hurricane, as it were. We're believers to be lights in the middle of the storm. In the middle of the darkness, we'd be a light. And we're at perfect peace as we look to God to outwork his wonderful will in his wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would. So therefore, when we look at God's word, what are we going to say? So the peace of God, God of the peace. God is peace. God is next to God. God possesses the peace. God owns the peace. God is the author of the peace. God is the administrator of the peace. That's what the peace is all his. It's all in his wonderful person. And this peace is identified and noted. In connecting, it brings the word peace, shalom with that. The word has to do with a lot of little words to put it together. Bringing things together, bringing them together so that when they're together, they aren't bumping. They aren't bumping. Peace, peace, shalom. There's no bumping. No bumping. I can do it with my hands, whatever. They're perfectly bound together. They aren't doing this. They aren't doing this. They're locked in. They're locked in. Peace. Peace. And God, what are you doing? Well, God, you're going to go in your wonderful, wonderful way. And you're going to bring everything. You're bringing everything. You have a unique oneness. And there's no distress. There's no strain. The conditions, the circumstances are there. But it's not going to cause us to be looking in a false hope. We hope for peace. People are talking about peace. It's been a long, long, many, many, many years. Many years. And looking for what? Looking for someone to get the pyramid of Babylon back built again. To build it up. To get it back. To bring back the Babylon, to bring it back to power. And that's one nation, one person, one government, etc. And all of that is said and said and said, and a false peace is said, made. And that false peace, when there is no peace, there's only turmoil and trouble. So we're looking for things. You're hoping for things. And you're right. You're not wrong. You should be praying. For God, pray for the servicemen, pray for the policemen, pray for the thing. It's a wonderful thing. But all of that is working and outworking. And it's not coming. And the peace of God isn't going to come from your old nature. You will not read. You did read Isaiah 48, Isaiah 57. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. There is no peace. So the world is there, and the world is there. And our old nature, We talk about, I'm going to make one government, one ruler, going to make everything communism, socialism, Marxism, everything. And to have all of that, sure you do. That's not going to bring peace. There is no peace. There is no peace. It's not going to come from my old nature. So at the very least, what do you know? The love that God has is God's. The joy that God has is God's. The peace that God has is God's, not the old nature. So when say, when, like we're going to do it in Colossians in red, in Colossians, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, it isn't. It ain't going to. It's going to come from your old nature. And so I'm going to make it, I feel peaceful. That's your peace, often, more than not. I need to make a distinction between God's peace and my peace. I need to understand the difference. My peace is a false peace. I am not able to have that wholeness. God has it. And therefore, if I'm going to have, if the Word of God, if the Lord Jesus Christ, if the Spirit of God is going to be the umpire in my little mind and heart, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, God, and thus the peace of God to rule in my heart. That is God's going to do in his most wonderful way. To do that, it's not going to come of my old nature. So I feel peace about it. I feel good. Sure you do. Nothing wrong with that. That's how we do. But if you're a believer, you're looking for God's life, which is your life, to be outworked. And therefore, as you go down the corridor, you do everything that seems to be reasonable and logical, common sense, you do it, always leaving everything with God, like James 4. When you've done everything, don't boast about tomorrow, because you may not have it. Don't do that. Today, Matthew 6:34, sufficient is the day, enough evil in it. The storm's there. It isn't going away. I'll seek you, the Lord, with all my heart. Seek thy kingdom with all thy heart, God. And my Father knoweth the need, next verse. The Father knoweth the need, my need before I ever get there. Thou wilt keep him. So my old nature doesn't do it. So when we talk to people, believers, how do you understand the peace of God? How do you make a distinction between the peace of God and your how do you know when it's better? How do you know God's peace, or is it your peace? How do you know which it is? Well, the only one I really know is my peace, because I'm very conscious of me. I'm very conscious of me. I'm not conscious of God's peace. I'm not conscious of God. I'm not conscious of God. Oh, but I feel good. It's a good decision. See, that's ministers that I know. That's people that sit up here. And you're going to copy whatever I'm doing, I'm not. And I'm telling you, don't get COVID. But the doctors think said, be of good cheer. It's just like flu now. Everyone gets COVID. Everyone just COVID and whatever can die. So don't worry about it. Now, so God, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Now, and just to even to choir. Just think of Isaiah 55. My ways and my thoughts are higher than what? The heavens. And you're going to tell me that your little mind is going to compete with mine and what I'm doing. Never. 3:15, heaven. No, the peace of God, Colossians 3:15, has to be the umpire in your heart to play the game of life. You need the right umpire. So you don't call a ball a strike and a ball. You want to go down the corridor. I hope you got a little bit, and appreciate your patience, and thank you.